So we have a new topic or subtopic within the overall topic that we're dealing with. The theme has been for the last couple of weeks the issue of separating Truma on Yom Tov or before Yom Tov. Actually, it was really the before Yom Tov and then the delivery on Yom Tov. And for the next piece, we're going to be discussing separating Truma on Yom Tov, but in order to get there, we have to get involved in a discussion about Dush. Dush, as in Malacha, means threshing. You're not allowed to thresh. So how do we define threshing? Threshing is when you think of the way grain is constructed, or the way you've heard grain is constructed, if you haven't actually seen a kernel of wheat. But one of the things that they have to do in the course of preparing flour is they have to crush the grain in such a way that you separate the edible contents inside from the shell. And then after that, they winnow it to separate them out. Winnowing, sifting, various kinds of sifting. So that's an issue that becomes relevant in our discussion for reasons that hopefully by the end of tonight will become clear. But in order to preface it, we need to understand something about the process of molalin melilos. The act of melila is where you take the wheat kernel and you crush it in your fingers. So instead of doing this mass processing where you thresh it by like having an animal trample on it or something, or you know, more modern times, hopefully these machines, instead you take it with your finger and you crush it and you get out the edible part and then you just eat them one by one. That's the process called melila. And the question is, am I allowed to do that on Shabbos and on Yom Tov? So if you take a look at Source Aleph, I brought you the Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch writes, Ein molin melilos. You are not allowed to do this melilo where you crush the grain. Ela molil bishinui me'at b'rashay etz be'osav. You have to do it in an unusual way by using your fingertips, which evidently was not the way you would normally have done this. And the Rama writes, even though you are separating the food from within the sheaves when you do that, he uses the term sheaf, but it's not a sheaf anymore now, it's a kernel. Nonetheless, since you are doing it in an unusual way, and it's for the sake of eating, it's not a processing thing where I'm going to store it now, shari, it's permitted. Surprise, some are strict.
He's talking about Hilchos Shabbos.
Yes.
Since when do we, because of, do we make something mutter because of achila on Shabbos?
All the time. We do it when. What we do is we distinguish between.
That would otherwise be an av malacha.
Yeah. Well, what we're saying is, well, first of all, this would be a derabbanan. Otherwise, it's a shinui.
What
we do is we say that with certain things when they're done derech achilaso, that's not considered to be the way of the malacha.
Right. So if you put
the classic example is the writing on the cake, right? So they tell you not to cut the writing on the cake. However, if you bite in and that gets erased, that's fine. That's an av malacha.
You can drink straight with a filter on something.
Yeah, there are various various examples.
Is something that's edible after the melilla?
Well, yes, right. I mean, not the shell, but whatever you had inside. Yeah.
The raw wheat kernel is edible.
Yes. So the Rama continues to say, "V'lachein asur lefareka egozim ludim or egozim gedolim bisoch klipas an hayiroka." He says, therefore, nuts that come inside a green shell of sorts. So in other words,
the wrong ones.
Yeah, well, those are relevant too. But there are nuts that have a green shell that you never see in the supermarket. They take that off outside of the shell that's on the nut. So he says you wouldn't be allowed to separate them from that green shell. V'tov lahachmir me'achar diyochel ochlen kach below piruk. And he says you should be strict because really you could eat them without having to remove that shell specifically when you just remove everything and get to the food that's inside. I'll just crack it open and take out the food as opposed to stripping off the this green thing. I don't think I've ever seen the green. They talk about this being on outside like of the outside of a walnut.
You see them when they call them, they fall off the trees. Chestnuts, right?
We used to have a chestnut tree, and there was no green thing.
But I saw them in green sometimes.
I mean, when they're underripe, they're green. But then they harden and they turn brown.
Right.
Yeah. That's not what he's talking about, but
Yeah, some nuts have a hard shell, and then they have another filmy shell on top. Like the peanut has the main shell, and then it has a...
That's not what he's talking about.
I know, but we eat that.
Right, that's actually part of... That's its own discussion in terms of Shabbos. But this is talking about where the nut is inside a hard shell, and the hard shell has a green something, some layer outside of that. Everybody refers to it as though they've seen it. So, you know, it's my fault for not seeing walnut trees. But or not seeing walnut trees that bear walnuts. I've seen walnut trees. But the Mishnah Brura writes on this Shinui point, if you take a look at source base, here's where Gerard was kind enough to provide us with examples. The beans here. He says, the Gemara where this is discussed, which is Beitza, says that you crush it with your fingertips. That's as the Shulchan Aruch recommended. That's called a Shinui because you're not doing it with your hand, with the body of your hand. You're doing it with the fingertip instead. And when the Shulchan Aruch says you should do Ma'at, it doesn't mean Shinui Ma'at with a little bit of a change. It means B'Shinui Me'at, doing a little bit at a time, like a small quantity, with your fingertips. So he says, Hainu shelo yimlo behem rak ma'at, you should only do a little bit. V'hu adin b'sharvitin shel kitnios, and the same thing is true regarding beans, he says, and that's why we have the beans here, Exhibit A. She'en la'utzi mehen ha'kitnios, rak ma'at v'ayidei shinui. He says, you should not take the beans out of the pod, only a little bit, and only in an unusual way, because when we don't think about it this way, but in the pod, right, the beans are attached to this inedible pod that's around them. So what I'm doing, really, by separating it off, is dash.
Although people eat, it makes a difference.
You can't eat these pods.
Some people do.
Really? Uh-huh. Like snow peas, you can, but these, this is not edible. You can't chew this, can you?
I think so.
Anybody here chew these? Okay.
I'm just saying, if it was edible, then it would make a big difference, right?
Well, that's where he continues.
Okay.
The Mishnah Brura writes, "V'tzarech iyun dechol ha'olam nohagin heter." He says, I know what to tell you. Everybody does this on Shabbos. They all take the peas out of the pod. V'tzarech lomar kevin she'odan lachin va'af ha'sharvit ochlino so lo havi mefarik. So he says the answer must be because it's still soft enough, it's literally moist enough that the pod is edible, therefore it's not called separating out from the shell. Rakimafrid ocha me'ochel, they're both food. Abal yuvation, but if they're dry, osha'armine kitnios she'ena sharvitin ru'uyan lachila, or other types of beans for which the pod is not edible, could go in polin shalanu, like our peas. That's what he says. I don't know. V'chena shumshumin mikli pasan, or sesame seeds. The asur lekulei ama b'lishinoi, everybody will prohibit unless you do it in an unusual way. Avshadai delechol miyad, even though you intend to eat it immediately. And then he tells you to look at the bir halacha. Once I have this open.
What about a hard shell? Like a nutcracker?
Mm-hmm.
Is that muscle?
So that is going to be the weekly halacha in the bulletin this week.
Is it the same as he's describing, where it's actually connected? They hang loose in the peanuts.
Right. So that there are those who prohibit, even though it's not connected. Mm-hmm. It's a discussion in the Igle Tal on the halacha of dash as to whether the connectedness to the shell matters or not.
It seems to be washing your mic.
Well, the walnuts are the perfect example, right?
Or a peanut, they're loose, they're not connected.
Yeah, but you don't need to use a nutcracker, to open a walnut. I mean, open a peanut.
You're still doing it one at a time. You're doing it ma'at, and you're doing it...
Well, you'll have to see whatever.
It wouldn't be a shino if you used the instrument, I guess. Okay.
Take a look at Gimel. The Bir Halacha that the Mishnah Brura referred you to. He says, I have a Mishnah Brura. Vidad the beitza yud beis isa, the initial kamei de Rava al isa yasa de chardala. Rava is asked the question about a bundle of mustard seed. Maula faruche umeichel minayu b'yamtov. Are you allowed to again crush it and eat from it on yamtov? The amarlo, when he responded to them, molin melilos mafratin kitnios b'yamtov. He said yamtov is fine. The implication is Yom Tov is fine. The Davka B'Yom Tov, Abba Shabbos, Asur Limlo, but Shabbos you could not, as seen in the Gemara there. I was saying the same thing is true regarding the beans. Because the Gemara equated the mustard with the beans. Only if you do it in an unusual way will it be permitted, according to that first view, which the Shulchan Aruch mentioned. By the first view, meaning from the Shulchan Aruch.
You require some of the sugar? It hasn't come up.
Yes. Yeah. The Magen Avraham, who expressed surprise at the fact that people are makil with this, he says the Magen Avraham is bothered, even within the view that says it's mutter if you do a shinoi, people don't do a shinoi. He quotes the Maharash, I think it was actually the Maharil, who found arguments to justify what people do. And I think he was the one who had the argument of, if it's not connected to the shell, I think that was where it was found. One of the interesting discussions that comes up, I don't think I referenced it in the weekly halachics, I don't want to confuse things, is that the grounds for being makil when it comes to peanuts are largely because, generally speaking, it's popular for people to get the peanut in this form and then to open it themselves. That's the grounds for heter, basically, is that that's not called threshing because this is what people do. They do it before they eat. And therefore, separating the peanut from the shell isn't considered to be a factory type of dash, so to speak.
And well, now, with everyone being so lazy, you have all these products getting shelled.
And that's the argument that is brought by some against it. They say, if you were, technically, to look up the statistics on the peanut harvest and how it's being used, the truth of the matter is that far more are going into planters' cans than are showing up at the Gemara Shear.
Unless you're at a baseball game, people like to... Something about a baseball game where you have to shell your own peanuts.
Right. Maybe. Okay, but you need to know this in order to understand what the Gemara is now going to do. So let's take a look at the Gemara.
This is not a Yom Kippur, this is on Shabbos, right?
Shabbos, correct.
Right. Yom Kippur is not a problem.
Right, that's what the Gemara is going to talk. Well, we'll see the Gemara, but the Gemara is going to say that. Okay, so we are about 10 lines up from the bottom on Yud Beis Amud Beis. The last word on the line, Ush Bezichne. It's a good Scrabble word. Right, last time we read about the garba, the chamra, and the wine, and the from outside of Eretz Yisrael, but yet they're doing truma and meiser. That was our piece last time. But ush bezichne de rava bara chanan havalei yisur yasa de chardala. Just like we just read that rava bara chanan's host has a bundle of mustard seed. Amarle, and he says to him, malu faruchei umeichu binayu b'yom tov. Would I be allowed to crumble it and eat from it? On Yom Tov, eat the mustard seed that way. Lo hava biyadei, didn't know. Asla kamei de Rava, he comes to Rava. I have a hunch that this should be Rava, just because Abaye is going to challenge it. And usually, if Abaye challenges, then they tell us it's not really Rava, it's Rava. Because Rava is the Talmud of Abaye, Rava is the Rabbi of Abaye. Nonetheless, in our Gemara it says Rava. He says there's no problem with doing this on Yom Tov. To which Abaye challenges, and he says, well, we've learned, if you crush the grain before Shabbos, lemachar menapeach or menape miyad liyad v'ochel, avalo bekanon velo betamchui. On Shabbos itself, you have borer issues. Right? Abaye is going to have two challenges to the idea that it's okay for you to crumble this on Yom Tov. His first challenge is Boer, and his second objection is Truma. So the first objection that he brings is Boer. He quotes us this Tosefta, which says that you're allowed to be Molel on Erev Yom Tov. Right, and it says the next day you're going to be menapeach or menape miyad liyad va'ochel. You sift it from one end to the other, or you blow it from one end to the other to separate out the chaff from the edible part. But you do not use the kalim that we associate with big borer. Kanon is a funnel. Tamchoy is a platter, and these are large pieces of equipment. Hamolim melilos may erev yom tov. If you do this on erev yom tov, lamachar menapeach, or again menape al yad veochel vaf afilu bekanon vafilu betamchoy. On yom tov, you'd be allowed to even use the filtering equipment, these equipment items. Avalo betavla velo benafa velo bekvara, but you would not be allowed to use tavla, nafa, and kivara. And the reason why is because these are kalim, according to Rashi, that are really only used to process large amounts. And so it looks like it's not just for this meal, but I'm doing this long term. End of quote. The issue for us is not about the Boer discussion in and of itself, but rather it's what he says now. Me'erev Yom Tov in B'Yom Tov lo. The Tosefta said, you do the Melilos on Erev Yom Tov, not on Yom Tov. That's Abaye's first challenge. To which he answers, no. Afilu tema b'yom tov. You could even say that you're allowed to do it on Yom Tov. Then why did you say Erev Yom Tov? V'aydi detana resha me Erev Shabbos, tana seifanami me Erev Yom Tov. It was just parallel language. It said Erev Shabbos, it says Erev Yom Tov, but really the same thing is true if you do it on Yom Tov. The Gemara is done with that. They're not concerned with that ever again. The real issue is the second issue, and that's what's going
to
make this.
The reason we're allowed to do this on Yom Tov is because of Achila?
Yeah.
That's right.
I believe so.
Right.
But the next piece is the problem. He says, my second objection, in Cain, if this is true, that you're going to do the Melilos on Yom Tov, then Matsinu Truma Shezakai Bahara Masa. That means that you're allowed to separate Truma on Yom Tov. Because here I have my melilos, which I've just crushed. I'm going to want to eat it. I have to separate truma. He couldn't do it beforehand. It wasn't processed yet. So he says, you're going to end up separating truma on Yom Tov. Utnan, and we saw in the Mishnah, lo imamartim betruma sheino zakai baharam asa. Remember the objections that we saw in the Mishnah when we talked about truma being more strict than matnos kahuna, right? Because we said, Matnos Kehuna, you could separate on Yom Tov. Truma, you're not allowed to separate on Yom Tov. Ah, Truma, you're not allowed to separate on Yom Tov. So if I can't separate Truma on Yom Tov, then what am I doing with these Melilos?
Can't you just do it tonight?
No. The Tanai only works for Derabanan, I believe. I don't think it works for Deraisa. Like if you had Tevel. So what am I going to do with this Mishnah, he says? It must be that you can't do melilos on Yom Tov. Notice his argument is not about malacha then. His argument is not a dush argument. It's a technicality argument. It's a truma problem. If my melilos were outside of Eretz Yisrael, I'd be just fine. So the Gemara answers, lo kasha. No problem. And now here, when it says no problem, that's your cue to know you have a problem. This is what I spent a good long time trying to figure out, because there are two different versions of what happens here. There's Rashi's version and there's Tosfos's version. So, with a little sheet of Mekubetz, but I'm going to just try to stick to Rashi and Tosfos and hope we get that. The Gemara says, no problem. Ha, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. One of these sources is Rabbi, and one of these sources is Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. What are you talking about? The following Brisa. Disanya. Hichnis shibolin lasos mehen isa. If you bring grain in order to make dough, your plan is to make dough out of them. So ochel mehen arai upater. So you can eat a snack with this and not yet have to separate true and meiser, because you haven't achieved gemar malacha yet. You haven't completed the task yet. You're planning on making dough. So that means you're planning on going through this whole multi-stage process in order to get it into flour, in order to mix it with water, in order to bake it. So if you decide you're going to take a little bit out and just crush it and eat it, no need to separate true and meiser. That's the Tanakama's view. Lemolan bimelilos. But if your intent from the beginning was that you were going to eat them as melilos, you're going to take kernels and crush them and eat them, then Rebbe Machayev. Rebbe says that means it eats truma right away. You can't do the melilos at all, because this is, you've hit gemar malach already. That's Rebbe. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, poter. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you are exempt because this is not called Gmar Malacha. So in other words, if I process grain, I bring it in from the field, with a plan that I'm just going to eat it as my snack, I can eat it all the way to the end without worrying about Truman Meiser or Kwaj Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Clear?
Why snack?
Because he says it never reached the stage that we identify as Gmar Malacha.
It's not a finished product?
Yeah. Truma only kicks in once it is a finished product.
Are we allowed to take Truma before it's a finished product, even though it's a chiyuv only kicks in? Can you
mock
on yourself?
Right, so you would have two problems. One problem is bracha.
Right.
And the other problem would be if you're going to use that to tithe something else that actually is bona fide.
But let's say it wasn't. Let's say you only had one pile, and you did it already.
So you give a coin a present. Oh, well, no, because you're not going any further with it. No, it's going to stay in the lila stage.
How do you know we didn't deal with the truma before? The kasha was from the brises. So how are you going to deal with truma in this fact pattern? You can't.
No, because if it's going to come to be obligated, then whatever I did when it was pater isn't going to help me.
No, what I'm saying is, how do you know error of yom tov or error?
Because it was pater.
Right, but that's my question. My question is, can you take truma? I know at this stage it's pater because it's not gemar malacha. But let's say you did the maisa and you had in mind to do it.
Not
the yevet is nothing. Even the yevet is nothing.
Correct. So that's the brisa that we quote here and say that's going to solve our problems. Okay, this what we just said is going to solve our problems, and the question is how did it solve anything? What did you mean when you said, oh well, this one is Rebbe and this one is Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda? I understand that we have a debate between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda regarding the status of grain that I bring in intending for it to be Malilos. Right? In which Rebbe says, Chayav in Truma Meiser, and Rebbe Yossi Rebbe Yehuda says, Potter from Truma Meiser. How, though, is that going to translate back to our discussion about the mustard seed? Why is that relevant for the... Again, the problem that we had with the mustard seed was that you told me I could do the Malilos on Yom Tov. Right? I put it in your sheet on Dalet, is what we're up to there. I just put in his two questions. Mm-hmm. Right? The first question was from the Tosef that appears you're not allowed to do Malilos on Yom Tov, which we answered by saying, no, Erev Yom Tov was the Lav Davka. Don't worry about the language of Erev Yom Tov. But then his second question is, you told me that we can't be Toreim on Yom Tov, so how can I do the Malilos? That's going to generate an obligation for me to separate Truma. And the Gemara brings this Brisa in Source Hay to answer my problem, in which Rebbe says, if you bring the grain for Malila, you have to separate Truma and Meiser. And Rebbe Yosef Yehuda says, no, you do not. Assuming that you're eating a little bit now, you can, or even the whole way through, you don't have to separate Truma and Meiser. So the question is, how did this answer Abaye's question? Right? Again, Abaye is saying, you told me in the Mishnah you can't be Toreim on Yom Tov, but on the other hand, I'm allowed to do Malilos. How can we make these two sources live in the same world? Think about it. And this flows fairly easily. You just have to realize what's going on. My challenge is, again, a source that says, I am allowed to do the Malilos, living side by side with a source that says, I am not allowed to separate Truma.
Well, Rabbi Yeshua Behuda holds, I may be Tzvul and Malilos, Potter and Malilos.
Yeah.
Right. So that's unique to that Brisa. And it's not a steer with our Mishnah, because really in our Mishnah, if there was, our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's not talking about this scenario, rather one where you would be Chayiv. Our Mishnah is ossering, right? Our Mishnah holds its osser to take off.
To separate Truma, yeah.
And the Brisa seems to indicate that it's mutter to do so.
Does it? I thought you were there, but now I'm not so sure. Take a look at the top Rashi. HaRabbi, HaRabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda. The top Rashi on Yud Gimel. He says, Ha Rebbe, Ha Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, La'olam, Molalin, Malilos, you are allowed to do the Malilos on Yom Tov. Mm-hmm. Uder kol, and everybody agrees right. You could do the mulilos.
It's not gemar malach because it's not.
Udekashalan imkein matzinu truma shezakeh baharam asan. As far as your question, that well, in that case, that means I am able to separate truma. In vaday matzinu aliba de rebbe, the amar yesh truma b'mulilos, umasnisen dektani lo matzinu. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehudi, damar ein truma b'mulilos. He says the answer is going to be. To put Rashi, I'm reversing Rashi's order a little bit because I think it makes it easier. What Rashi explains is the Mishnah said you don't do Truma, and as far as the Malilos, the Mishnah is going to take the view of Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda that you don't have to tie the Malilos. You follow? There's no obligation to tie the Malilos according to Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore I am able to do Malila on Yom Tov. And the Mishnah is no problem for me. The Mishnah said, I'm not separating Truma. All is good. That's the way to read it. Whereas Rebbe said, you are going to have to be Torim. He'll say, okay, so don't do Malilos on Yom Tov. That'll be a machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yosef, Rebbe Yehuda. That's the way that Rashi reads our Gemara. Tosfos has problems with two objections in principle to Rashi's position. If you take a look at Tosfos, Harav Yossi, he quotes you Rashi first. Here is Rashi. Umasha matzinu dezakei baharamasa, when it now seems to imply that you are allowed to separate truma, hainu aliba derebi, damar yish truma b'melilos, desabar dachnas hasan b'melilos, hainu garnanu gemar malacha. That would be within the view of Rebbe, who says you are separating truma from melilos. Avo masnisin dekatani lo matzinu, but the Mishnah says we don't do truma on Yom Tov. Hainu Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, damar ein truma b'melilos. That's consistent with Rabbi Yosi or Yehuda, who says that's okay, I'm not tithing melilos. The adagan kapid rachmana, because what the Torah wants me to make sure to tithe is dagan. Veinze ela kibbutz be'alma, this is not the dagan. The dagan means that I took the grain and that I piled it all up. The way that you do if you process grain. Here, all I'm doing is little lumps of grain. That, he says, is the way that Rashi reads the Gemara. Ubisamoch gersinan, and then the addition will be, ul Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Yehuda, nami mishkachas levachule, which is in fact what we have in our Gemara. The next line. Chule mashma the pilaferusho to the Rabbi Yosi afilu achilas keva yachol lechob lamaiser. The implication of Rashi is that eating melilos does not require tithing, even if it's going to be a set meal. Doesn't make a difference. It's not a snack. Dimhay machayev achilas keva. Because if he had to separate truma, if you were eating it as a full meal. Then Mishkachas of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, the Zakeh Bahara Masa Bachilas Keva. Then Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda would end up saying that you are separating Truma on Yom Tov, and that he does not believe. So that's the way that Rashi explains it, as Tosfos just re-presented it to us. Okay? So again, what he's saying is the Mishnah that says you don't separate Truma on Yom Tov can coexist with the Tosafta that says that you can do the Malilos on Yom Tov. If I take the view of Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, that
no
you don't have to separate Truma. You don't separate Truma from Malilos. That's the way to read it. V'tema. But Tosafta says, no, this can't be true. He says, first of all, the Halasha Lo Mashmakein. The Gemara's language did not sound like this. The Hakai Al Achilas Arai. Because the Gemara was talking not about achilas keva, sitting down to a meal of melilos. It was talking about snack. Look at he quotes to the Gemara. Hichnas shibalil masas me'an isa ochel me'hen arai upater. When he talked about not melilos, but the previous case, where you're bringing the sheaves in to make dough out of them, so you're allowed to eat temporarily and be pater. Va'ala masik. And on that line is where the Gemara then added, lemolim v'melilos, if you do melilos, Rebbe mechayev. Meaning me'arai, Rabbi Yosi the poter again me'arai. He's adding in the words me'arai, but he says first of all, my first problem is that even Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says you don't tithe melilos is talking about when you're eating it arai temporarily. He would not say that if you were making a real meal out of it, and therefore our Mishnah will once again be a problem. So our Mishnah says you can't separate truma and meiser. Okay, that's number one. That's problem number one. Problem number two, Va'od Kasha. L'Rebbe Nami Hechi Matzinu Shezakai Baharamasa B'Yom Tov. Within the view of Rebbe, where do we ever find that you are, within the view of Rebbe, where do we ever find that you will be allowed to separate it on Yom Tov? How will the Islay the Hachnasasan write? How will the Islay the Hachnasasan Lamulo Zel Garnan Ugmar Malachtan? Imkin Iskaibu May Esmo May Erev Yom Tov. Vimkin Ein Yachal Hafrish Be Yom Tov. I forgot the point for a second, but this was the best point in the whole year. He says, wait a minute. If you believe, right? If you actually believe
that this is the Gemar Malo,
that when you bring it in for this purpose, at this point you're chayav in truma and meiser. Then you could have done it yesterday. Right. And what's your heter to do it today? That's our objection. Within the view of Rebbe, if you're going to say that Rebbe would say that you are zakai baharamasa, how would you be doing it this day? Well, that's not a Rabbi Yosef Yehuda problem. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda said, I'm not tithing it anyway. Not yesterday, not today, not tomorrow. But within Rebbe's view, as we're explaining it here, you have a problem. So he says, L'chein Niro Li, therefore it appears to me, Daha Deka Amar, that when it says, this word to Kohen that you have next, the Bach takes out, it should be She. Daha Deka Amar She Zakai Bahara Masa, Asya Aliba de Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda de Poter. He says, no, you're reading the Gemara wrong. He says, when it says that you are able to separate Truma on Yom Tov, that there is a view that says you can separate the Truma on Yom Tov, that's Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's view, de Poter. He said, you're Poter if it's Arai. The Kevin discovered the Hachnasasan Lo Zehu Garnan, since he says that when you bring them in, that's not called full processing. The Imkein Kimalan Biyomtov, meaning as they had in the margin, Lechol Keva, Ba Lo Chiyuv Ashta. Now he became obligated. The Imkein Zakai Baramasan, therefore he's allowed to separate it today. So the view that says that you are allowed to tithe them on Yom Tov, he says, is actually Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. Because when Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda said we don't tithe Malilos, that was only if they're a snack thing. But if you're making a meal out of them, then you do have to tithe them. And since you have to tithe them, but only entered the field of obligation today, I will be allowed to do so.
In contrast to the Mishnah.
Correct. V'had the Amar de'eno zakai baharamasa. And when it says that you are not allowed to do it, whose view is that going to be? Asi aliba the Rebbe. That will be within Rebbe's view. Disvira le dachnasasan zohi garnan. Because he takes the view that bringing them in from the outset already was their full processing, and therefore v'haylam lisromayatmo. You should have done it already yesterday. And then you will not be able to tie them on Yom Tov. In fact, we have an addition that fits this. You have to change the whole sentence the whole ensuing sentence in terms of what the names are. But you know that's the way it goes. But the point is, and if you take a look at your sheet now, hopefully this will track. In source Vav, right? I bring you Rashi's version of what happened and Tosos's version of what happened. Rashi's version is that the debate is whether you are obligated to tithe Malilos, period. Ever. Shabbos, Keva or Arai. According to Rabbi, you do have to be Torim, and therefore you are Torim on Yom Tov. Whereas yes, you would be Tarim on Yom Tov. Rabbi Sirbi Yehuda says you don't have to tithe it, and therefore there's no tithing going on Yom Tov. Tosfos says no. Tosfos objects to that, first of all, because he says, I cannot believe that you're going to try to get away with telling me that he's saying you're potter from tithing Malilos even at a full meal. That doesn't make any sense. Tell me at a partial, but not at a full. That's number, at a snack, but not at a full meal. That's objection number one. Objection number two that he brings is that in the event that you were going to tell me that Rebbe's position is you're obligated to tithe them, that means you're obligated to tithe them from when you started. In that case, you already had the chiyuv before Yom Tov. And what business do you have tithing them on Yom Tov? That doesn't make any sense either. So Tosfos says that's not the way to look at this. You have to flip it around. The machlokas is, are you obligated to tithe them if you brought them in for temporary eating? Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you are exempt. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you are exempt, and therefore, I don't like the way I worded that on the sheet, but what I'm saying is, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says you are exempt, and therefore on Yom Tov you become obligated when you sit down to have your meal, and at that point you're going to have to tithe them, and you will, and Rabbi will say no. You were obligated already yesterday, and therefore we're not going to have you do it on Yom Tov. That's the way to do it. That's the way Tosus reads this.
You do have to still come to the fact that, like you say, in the sheet, that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda holds that you didn't have the fee of Masmal.
Correct.
To tie this, because neither one would allow you to tie that you could have done in Erev Shabbos.
Right.
Or Erev Yom Tov.
Yes. So now let's go a little further in the Gemara here and just see as the Gemara walks us through the conclusion. Ula Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, the fourth line on Yud Gimel. Ula Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Nami Mishkachas La. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda will also have such a case where you end up tithing. Now, it's Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda if you take Rashi's version. It's Rebbe if you take Tosus's version. Whoever it was that you're saying believes that you will not separate Truma on Yom Tov, whoever that is, he will also be able to come up with a case in which you will. How? If you brought them in planning to make dough out of them, right? That was your goal, was that you were going to make dough out of them. So therefore, they're not yet processed. I'm not chayiv on Erev Yom Tov. And then, v'nimel chalei l'mol and b'yom tov. On Yom Tov, you changed your mind and said, I'm going to do malila. Did tivla b'yomei. So it became tevel on Yom Tov itself, right? Just like we learned about last week, when we talked about where you made dough on Yom Tov. So it wasn't obligated before, and it is obligated now. And in that case, I will end up separating truma. So how can the Mishnah say, eino zakai b'haramasa, that you can't separate truma? It's not true. Ella mai truma. So what did the Mishnah mean when it said that you don't separate truma on Yom Tov? Rove truma. Most cases. But yeah, everyone in the Mishnah is going to have to agree that there will be. You can concoct a case in which truma will be separated on Yom Tov. And that doesn't sabotage our Mishnah's main point, which is that you can always do the matnos kahuna, but you have to work to come up with a case in which you're going to separate truma. That's the idea. Clear, I hope? Somewhat? part of the reason it's clear to me is because I spent, enough time trying to figure it out. But the fundamental debate between Rashi and Tosfos is how I'm going to look at tithing the malilos, where I intend them to be a snack. That's really what it comes down to. It's if it's a snack to the end. According to Rashi, we can entertain the possibility that we would say it is potter beginning to end. That's the way you're going to finish eating them. Doesn't matter. It's still going
to
be... Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. But it will be possible to say that if as long as I bring them in and tend them for malilos, and even if it's not a snack, even if it's kabai, if that's what I'm going to do, we're going to sit around the table, and for 6 hours on a long afternoon, we're all just going to sit there eating these things. That's as kava can be.
Doesn't
make a difference. And Tosfos says that's nonsense. There's no such thing. Everybody will agree that there's a chiyuv to separate true and meiser from them at that point. Okay. All of this is only here, not for the sake of discussing malilos, but for the sake of discussing truma on Yom Tov. That's really what this is about, because our Mishnah said there's no such thing as truma on Yom Tov, and now we're learning that that's not entirely true.
Most of the time it's not true.
Correct. So the Gemara then moves into two versions of a statement by Abaye. We'll start it, but we're not going to get through it. We have, only a few minutes. Amar Abaye, machlokes bishibalin. Abaye says, this machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, we're talking about shibalin, sheaves, meaning grain. That's where this this debate exists, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda is going to say that you're potter. If you look at Rashi on that, he explains, Bahanu hu de potter Rabbi Yossi, deruban ledisha, ve'en garnan ela bemeruach. He says, because generally sheaves of grain end up being threshed, and it's only a very small percentage that are going to be used for anything else. Aval, however, back in the Gemara, bekitnios, if you're dealing with beans, divrei hakol isor yasa tivla. Then everybody agrees that the bundles will be tevel and will require tithing. The reason why Rashi explains aval kitnios yesh bnei adam harbe shein chotin osan yachad ela kidei rasan, because there are a lot of people who process these in smaller amounts, just one meal at a time. And leficha hachnas san b'chavilin zeu garnan, and so that is the granary, so to speak, when you bring in your meal's worth. So Abaye, he says, the whole machlokes between Rabbi and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda, the debate about the obligation for truma meiser in the event that you bring them in for malilos, that is only relevant to grain.
Is Tosfos going to understand it the same way Rashi is?
Why wouldn't he?
Because it seems like the Tosfos understands more that the distinction is in the arai and kava more, and Rashi's focus seems to be when the groman, when it's gemar malachto is for purposes of truma.
I think not. I think Rashi and Tosfos can each explain this their way in terms of arai and kava, but they can still retain what Abaye is saying. Just they'll say, this is only about Keva. This is only about Arai, or this is about Arai and Keva, per Rashi.
Now look, Tosfos can hold exactly like Rashi to explain.
Yes,
this
I believe.
Machlokas,
yeah.
Between, not a machlokas, to explain the distinction between Shibalim and Kidneys.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah. And the Gemara says, Lema Messiah, we could support Abaye's statement by seeing the following source. If you have bundles of tilson, tilson is usually rendered, I think, as fenugreek, or fenugreek by the sophisticates. But if someone has bundles of fenugreek, that is tevel, harezek kotesh, he can crush it, umachashev kamazera yesh, but figure out just how much seed he produced from these pods of fenugreek, umafrish al hazera, and he tithes it based on the seeds, Veno Mafrashala eats, but he doesn't count the inedible wood when he does the calculation. The Rashi explains why he would have thought otherwise. It's because the pods actually are edible. They, nonetheless, they're not chayiv in Truman Meiser. So that's the quote. So the quote says, if you have this tilson, you separate Truma from the seeds. Maila Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda da Amar Hasam Lo Tivla Hacha Tivla. Isn't that Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda? And he said regarding grain that you will not need to tithe it. And here, this is kitnios, the fenugreek, and therefore you do. So which he says, well, no, who says? Rabbi, I can tell you it's Rabbi who said that you tithe both. You tithe everything. To which he says, E Rabbi he, my area tilson, a fulishibolanami. Well, if it was Rabbi, then why did he go to the fenugreek case? Why didn't he mention the grain case, which is a bigger chiddush? To which he says, Elamai. Well, then he can tell me it's Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. Lishmi'in and sha'armine kitnios v'kolshkein tilson. In that case, you should have told me about the other types of kitnios, and certainly tilson. And the reason why we say certainly tilson, Rashi explains, it's because tilson is fenugreek. You only put small amounts into your food. So you should have taught me about kidneys in general, where people usually take a lot. Ella tilson is drichale. No, you needed to mention tilson specifically. Salka deita chamina hoel v'tam eitzo perio shava lefresh namia eitzo kamash molan. The answer is it was teaching that lesson that Rashi mentioned. That I would have thought to tithe the wood. That's why we mentioned that one in particular. Alright, there's too much to say for us to go into this. I'm gonna pause with that. But we got that piece of the Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda. That's good. And then we have to go back to from there next week.